as well. Skillsy is on the line with us now. What's up, Hal? How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Trying to figure things out, as I know you are with this hockey team. Look, it's just not been good. I mean, they've won 7 games this year, and nobody saw that coming. But I am curious of something. We were talking about this in the last segment, and even had a caller ask about it. We have seen Andrew Brunette change the lines, you know, almost till he's blue in the face, trying to find the right combination, trying to build the chemistry. At what point, though, do you put something out there on the ice and just back away and leave it alone and just let it cook, let it simmer, whatever analogy you want to use? You know, Jonathan Marchessault has made the comments of things are changing shift to shift. At what point do you just leave it alone and see what happens?
When it works. That's when you leave it. When you leave it out there, that's if something's clicking, you let it go. Has that happened yet? I think there was a time when they thought things were coming around and they stuck with a couple lines for 2 or 3 games. There was just recently the lines really didn't change all that much. It was 5 games, I think, where they stuck with it, but nothing was clicking. So to answer your question, you need something to click. You need something to happen, and it hasn't. So, I think the frustration sets in for the players is I need to get comfortable with guys, with my partner or with the guys I'm playing with, in order to have success. But if you're not having success, it's the catch-22. Like, how long do we sit here and wait for it? We need something to happen now. So Brunette has been looking around trying to find where's the lightning and where's the bottle and how does it work? And so it's been a frustrating season for both the players and the coaches.
At what point, though, they've had meetings. I know Yossi kind of talked about that yesterday. But, you know, they've had player meetings and all of that. At what point does something give, though? I mean, I don't know if you've been in situations like this before as a player, but I can only imagine – what the players are going through in that they're looking around going, we can't figure this out either.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of question marks. All right, here's my thing, and I'll say this. There's a lot of GM players looking around going, how do we get out of this? What do we do? And I think there needs to be more, I got this. There's enough leadership in that locker room. Like, someone's got to tip the scale, and you can't look around and blame, coach hasn't put me on the same line with the guy. I'm not getting comfortable. I don't have a playmaker with me to set up the goals I want to score. I think at some point you got to dig in and do it yourself and look at the guy next to you and say, hey, I'm going to do it myself. Will you do it with me? And I think there's got to be a level of that. It's one thing to have a few off games and, you know, you're not performing and you're saying, why am I not performing? Well, it's because of this and that. It, like, eventually it comes down to you. You have to look yourself in the mirror and you have to turn it out and make something happen. And that, you know, I haven't seen that happen, certainly not on a consistent basis. I think Roman Yossi heated up and said, come on, guys, I'm going. Come with me. I think there's a lot of young guys that have come in that don't know any better that are just going, you know, balls to the wall the whole time and turned things and made some things happen. I think Zach LaRue is a good example of that. You have some good young defensemen that have stepped up, Dalgaiso and Willsby and Blankenberg. These guys have said, okay, I'm gonna give you something, but those aren't guys, no offense to them, they're not going to tip the scales. They'll help you. They'll give you some punch. But I think to a man, you know, goal scorers got to score goals. And you got to make that happen. You got to will it to happen. And so I think there's been a lot of looking around for reasons instead of being the difference.
We're talking to Hal Gill this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Hal, I got to ask, when your phone rings and the number is from somebody you hadn't talked to for quite a while, but they work in hockey, are you expecting them to ask, Hal, what the hell is going on in Nashville?
Yeah, I get a lot. I have friends that are GMs. I have friends that are coaches. I have friends that you know, scouts, hockey guys are trying to figure it out because, you know, there's certain things you go, well, you know, I wasn't high on that player. I was high on that player. What's happening with this player? Why shouldn't I be high on him? I think there's a lot of looking around, and I'm sure it's frustrating for the players because everyone's second guessing them and no one wants that. But I think the bottom line is they got to do something about it and prove that. And that's part of the NHL. You're only as good as your last game and you're only as good as your last season. You got to keep proving it. And so I think, there's a lot of questions being tossed around. I'm just looking for the difference maker. Who's the guy that's going to say, I'm the reason why we came out of this? You know, I think that's what you got to look for.
You know, we consider and play revisionist history all day long, but is the fact that Tampa Bay did not want to sign Stamkos, was that a small warning sign, or am I completely wrong on this?
Of course. If someone doesn't want to sign you, then it's a slap in the face, and you're saying and I'm sure Stammer was going, you know, I'm your franchise. You need to keep me. And, you know, everyone wants that. Everyone wants to be wanted, you know. But then I think there's also a level of, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to go to Nashville and, you know, show you why you messed up. And I think that has to come. I think that's what Stammer's trying to do out there is try to, you know, you're ultimately, well, for me, I had a chip on my shoulder my whole career, and I was constantly trying to prove people wrong. And luckily I had enough GMs that stupid enough to keep me going. So, but, you know, you try to prove it every time you play. And if someone doesn't believe in you, you want to stick it to them and tell them, yeah, see what you missed out on.
We're talking to Hal Gill here on Chasing Big Joe. Barry Trotz was head coach here for 16 seasons, and I'm sure there were times that people looked at David Poile and said, what are you doing? You're being too loyal. But that was David Poile's entire career. He was very loyal to his coaches. He didn't make a lot of coaching changes. He only made one in-season change here. And obviously everybody's looking at Brunette and the job he's doing. How much of that, though, do you think is affecting Barry Trotz and his decision to see this through and be maybe – a little more patient than somebody else might be with Brunette and them in this stretch?
Yeah, I think Barry's he's a smart guy and he's a patient guy, and he's you know, I think his quote was like, hey, we've worked on this for a long time. We've thought about this. We're not going to make rash judgments and try to solve for now and throw away the future. So I think he's looking at it as a, you know, it's one of those things you got to be patient until you can't be patient anymore. And I think that's what the ultimate struggle is for him is I believe in Andrew Brunette. I brought him in here. We're bringing people in that we want to be successful. I believe in the players that we signed. I believe in the players, the draft picks, until you don't believe them anymore. And I think there's, you know, guys like Tomasino and Fabro that they, you know, they have to move on from. And eventually you make that call, but I don't think you rush it. And I think you be patient with it. And that's easier said than done. But you have to stand by your guns and stand by what you believe in until you don't believe it anymore. And then you have to act on it.
You know, you mentioned that you're kind of waiting for somebody to step up and say, hey, I got this, you know, follow me. And I feel like so many times that guy's been Roman Josi. And we've even seen at times where he's almost put too much on his shoulders and it's affected his game at the same time. Do you think that's happened a little bit this year, that maybe he's trying to do too much and be too much of a Superman? Or, you know, is it's affecting him too?
I do think he's, I don't want to say overplayed, but he's trying hard. He's given it everything he's got, and he's done that his whole career where, you know, you're like, okay, we need a spark. We need something to happen. And more often than not, it's Yost doing this, making this awesome play and, you know, boom, they're back in the game. And he's done that his whole career. It's harder now because I feel like there's not that punch up front that he can rely on. And so, you know, he overextends himself but I think that's part of the problem with this team is that, you know, you have one guy trying you got to have five guys on the ice that are blowing it out at the same time. And that's what I mean by I'm dragging you in the fight with me. Come on, I'm going, you know, I'm going to pay the price here. I'm going to work, and you're going to come with me. And I think there needs to be more of that.
You know, Hal, I know you don't work for the team per se because you work for the broadcasting company, but I hear frustration in your voice. Why?
Because they're losing. No one wants to lose. I'm with this team. I'm calling every game. I'm in and around them all the time. It's frustrating. It's the most frustrating thing, and it affects your life. But if these guys, I'm sure, are going home. I know they are. They're going home, and they're – you know, they're bummed out. And, you know, I always say, like, you know, a beer after the game is always good. It's great when you win, and it's tough to swallow sometimes after a loss. Your coffee in the morning never tastes as good as it does after a win. And, you know, it's everywhere you go, it's hard to carry losses. And so, and that's not just, that's the whole organization. That's everyone. That's right down to, you know, guys getting tickets at the gate. You know, like, you want to win. You want to be around a team that wins, and everyone's got a common goal. One goal is to win. And so if you're not getting it, it's miserable. And sadly, I've been around it too much, and it's frustrating when you lose. But, you know, you got to stay with it, and that's what all the quotes have come out of. These guys just saying, I'm going to stick with it. We're going to stick with it. We're sticking together. I think you can commend them for not rolling over on each other. You know, there seem to be together in this, and that's hard to do.
Yep. Well, hopefully they can turn it around tonight. I know we've said that a lot this year, but the hope is still there. Skillsy, appreciate it as always.
All right. Well, let's hope for a win, and then everyone can start to be happy again. We'll build on it.
Yeah. Right? 7-0.
Enjoy the game, guys.
7-0. Let's do that.
Perfect. You called it. I like it.
All right. Thanks, Hal. Appreciate it.
All right. Cheers.